Board meeting of Tuesday, March 22nd to order. May I have roll call, please?
Member Branch?
Here.
Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Hyman?
Here.
Member Shaler?
He's present, but not here. He's present, but he's not right here right now, but he is coming.
Member Sweeney?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Chair Snyder?
Here.
Thank you.
Are we going to have that, or shall we delay it a little bit?
I think our city, let's move that
we'll
ahead,
move that.
And then I'm going to alert the city clerk.
Item B, we'll go on the administrative agenda. Meeting minutes for March 8th. Do I have a motion?
I move for approval. Well, actually, I can't. I wasn't here. So.
I'll move for to approve the minutes.
Second. Discussion?
I abstain.
I didn't have anything.
I didn't have anything.
And good job on. There were over 500 comments here, so well done.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And
abstain.
Two abstentions. Planning Director report?
Yes, good afternoon, board members. First, to welcome our three members for reappointment, Member Carroll, Member Smith, and Member Shaler, and we're supposed to swear you in. City Clerk will probably be doing that at some point. We went to get her. We're taking a little break on the zoning code review, but it will come back to you in April to proceed with the sections for your review. And then we also updated the cumulative project list. This is a list that most of you are aware has projects that are in the process, projects that have been approved, and projects under construction. So we update this about every 6 months. It's on the website if you'd like to take a look at what's happening. And then finally, we want to remind all the board members to file your Form 700 to the city clerk. Any questions, you can ask me or the city clerk. Thank you.
Okay, and next item is review of agenda. Do we have any?
No changes on your agenda today. You have an extra week this time with our calendar, so you get 3 week break before your next meeting, April 12th.
Okay, and at this time is the time for members of the public to speak on an item that is not on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak at this time? Seeing none, we will move on to our sign calendar. Madam Secretary, can you read item F1?
Item F1 is the Goleta Business Park freestanding sign revamp, 425 Pine Avenue, case number 15-156, DRB.
Thank you, Linda. The sign subcommittee reviewed this project back on the 8th. It was reviewed with a list of comments. The applicant came back and had addressed all the comments satisfactorily. They have a photo mock-up of what they're proposing here for the board members to look at. The three of us, Bill Shelor, Aaron Carroll, and myself, Tom Smith, reviewed. We found this was fine. We recommend full approval by the board.
Take that as a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Item F2, Madam Secretary.
Item F2 is the Hampton Inn Monument sign located at 5665 Hollister Avenue, case 16027 DRB.
Thank you. The applicant came before us with this one. This is, in effect, a reuse of an existing sign. They have to move it just a couple of feet in order to get better clearance from the landscaping. The letter, the typeface is the same. The height, size, everything's the same, except the addition of By Hilton on the bottom. The previous sign was ground lit. We weren't really that thrilled about that, so we had conversations with the applicant, and we think we've come to a a usable conclusion. So we are recommending approval by the board with these three comments. Number one, the foundation should be dug by hand, and no roots should be cut that they, as they're digging, no roots should be cut that are over 1.5 inches in diameter. And the illumination of the sign, instead of ground illumination, that on the underside of the upper cap, we have an LED strip that would provide downlighting to illuminate the sign. And we would recommend approval with those conditions.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. Madam Secretary, item F3.
Item F3 is the Draftsman's Ale Works wall sign, 53 Santa Felicia Drive, case number 16030 DRB.
Thank you. We saw the applicant for this one as well. The letters are cutout metal letters that are pin mounted off the face of the building. The initial plan as submitted called for uplighting. We talked with the applicant, and he's willing to change that to downlighting. So we, after review, are recommending approval by the board of this sign with the condition that the sign be lit with a building-mounted downlight, and the fixture is to be architecturally compatible to the style of the building.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. Item F4, Madam Secretary.
Item F4 is the mobile gas station signage located at 49 Glen Annie Road, case number 16011 DRB.
Thank you. In this case, the applicant was coming for us to basically refresh the existing signage in one case starting with the monuments or the pole sign out front, this was approved by the county when it was first installed, and the applicant is just wanting to replace the materials and letters because they've been there for a long time, they're sun checked and fading. And just taking exactly the same material, color, type, font, everything, and just making it fresh. And then on the building at the Quick Mart, there is a current logo, a round logo of the Pegasus. And the same thing with that. They're just replacing like for like a fresher, newer material. It is non-illuminated. Well, it's illuminated, but it's illuminated by the service lighting under the canopy that lights the general service area. And then on the canopy itself, they want to place a mobile logo on the south-facing side and on the east-facing side. There's currently one on the north-facing side they want removed. We looked at this and felt that not really adding, you know, it's pretty much a straightforward replacement type deal. So we recommend full approval.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? I have an issue. I don't know if anybody else noticed it or not. Probably not pertinent to the signs, but since he's here, I'm going to bring him up from the audience.
All right.
Can you tell us when there were, along the western property line, there was a series of, I believe, olives planted? Can you tell me when those were? They look fairly new, and my problem with them is that they totally block currently and will continue to block the sign for the property right next door.
Like I said, I've been to the site, but I haven't
looked there.
Attention to the landscaping.
Okay. So I'm fine with the signs. Because we just approved that other sign probably within the last 3 or 4 years, and it's a low sign, and we went to a lot of grief trying to get that sign located where it is. and now basically your landscaping is going to obliterate its usefulness. So I would like to at least add a condition that they remove two of those olive trees. That I presume that's doable, right?
Go take them out. Take them down right now.
Mr. Chair,
what?
Mr. Chair, you can suggest the owner look at that. That's out of the purview of making a condition subject.
Why is that out of the purview?
This signage is here before you, so not the item on the trees for consideration.
I'll bring it up to the owner.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried.
Two.
The two in front of the sign. Not a big deal, I don't think. But.
So, Mr. Chair, if we could ask that you consider having item B be heard now, the swearing in, which will take just a second, because our city clerk is here.
Okay. We will go to item B.
Okay, if I can ask Mr. Schuler, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Carroll to join me at the podium. And you probably want to maybe come right here so the camera could catch you. Come all right here. Okay. Going to ask you to state your name after I.
Bill Schuler.
Tom Smith.
Aaron Carroll.
Raise your right hand. That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign or domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. You do?
I do.
Okay, congratulations.
Congratulations to the three of you. That's so back to work. We're going to conceptual review, item G1. Madam Secretary?
Okay, G1 is the Cali Real Shopping Center new trash compactors and wall fence enclosures located at 5652. 25820 Cali Real, case number 15120 DRB.
Okay, and I will be recusing myself as the applicant is a client of mine.
Do we need to do declarations here?
No site visit, but I am familiar with the site and no ex parte.
Likewise, familiar with the site, no site visit, no ex parte.
I have visited the site and no ex parte.
I have visited the site, no ex parte.
Drive by of the site, no ex parte.
I'm familiar with the site, but no site visit and no ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Good afternoon. The project site is over at the Cali Real Shopping Center, and what is proposed by property management is to remove a couple of the existing trash enclosures and consolidate them into trash compactor units, four of them, and also associated with that will be walls and fencing. So there will also be some minor restriping as well of the parking lots. So two of them will be up in the north portion of Cali Real Shopping Center, north of Cali Real, and the two of them will also then will be south. So I have the project applicant here, Paul Poirier, agent and architect, as well as Michael Tobes and also the project team. If you wanted to walk through the project.
Yeah, I'll let Michael talk first about the owner's motivation, and I'll explain what's going on out there.
We have been working on this conversion for some time for several reasons. First, going to compactors is more sanitary. It's also environmentally better because it's less landfill. We've also been encouraged by the health department to move in this direction. So we've come up with a plan to install two compactors on each side and remove most of the trash enclosures. Tracy Tate is the manager of the center for the Tobes Group. She's on vacation, so I'm here today.
I think if you drove by there and did a site visit, you'd notice on the south side there are a lot of dumpsters that aren't in enclosures, just pushed up against the freeway right away. If tenants leave those open and they happen to be a food user, seagulls come in, grab the trash, spread it all over the parking lot, both on the north and south side. That's a perpetual problem with all the shopping centers that we work on. Built cages over it, hidden by trellises, roofs, all kinds of things. Fairview Center, we had roofs, hard roofs over everything. But this seems to be the most effective way of bulk collecting all of the trash, bulk collecting all of the recycling into two bins, having it compacted and having BFI swap those bins out at whatever frequency they need to have, because they have, depending on the leasing of the property, varying amounts of trash at different times, year to year. So this will just give them more bulk capacity. It'll be centralized. It'll be covered at all times. And we think it'll be better and safer. We can get rid of all the unsightly trash enclosures that are floating willy-nilly all out behind there. There'll still be some. We might keep a couple of the existing trash enclosures to house the grease collection. And we were talking about possibly getting that centralized, but I'm not sure where Tracy is in that, because each guy right now, each restaurant currently negotiates their own grease pickup. And we discussed a little bit about getting a single vendor for that as well to minimize that. So any questions you have, basically we're putting these BFI units in. They go kind of back to back. They pull out of gates that the truck comes in, pulls it up on. They come by with an empty one and unload it right in there when they need to. It has a compactor section that's built right into the bin, so it travels with the bin as they haul it off. And we think it'll be a big benefit to both sides of the street where we have that shopping center.
For how many noise, trash bins do you think you'll be able to remove as a result?
There's at least four or five of them on the south side, and it's really only picking up the trash from on the south side from Kinko's down the whole run to right before, I think, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Is that right, Michael? Mm-hmm. And then on the north side, it's also that just central section that's indicated on our plan. There's separate trash for Trader Joe's, because that's kind of a separate project, and there's separate trash for the other developments to the east and west of the north side.
Thank you.
Paul, could you describe the fencing material? It's just listed as green, the chain link, in a little more detail.
Sure. On the north elevation, we had to do a noise study to try to make sure that the equivalent amount of noise, you know, we're just trying to minimize the amount of noise to the neighbors as possible. So obviously eliminating a bunch of uncontainerized lid slamming on a conventional trash enclosure will be minimized by having a horizontal door into the compactor section, going in, putting a bunch of trash in there. When it gets up to a certain amount, you push the button. There's a little bit of a crushing sound as it gets pushed into the compactor, but certainly should be less noise than a slamming lid on a dumpster that's not in a container. So we put a block wall on the resident side of the container, and we put a chain link fence with green slats on the other side to kind of let the wind blow through there and just keep it inexpensive and easy to maintain. The south side, I believe, is all green vinyl slat chain link. And the one on the south side is behind the building, so you really don't see it unless you're driving down that utility drive behind the building. And the other one is set way back, almost in line with the back of the building on the north side. So it's really not out there in front for everyone to check out.
This one?
Yeah, that's the one that's behind Kinko's, more or less. Pretty dense foliage on the freeway side as well, so you can't see it from the freeway, you can't see it from the street, you'd only see it if you drove down the back alley. Also, we're not putting any pedestrian gates on it, we just have openings, because with this new kind of setup, people will be taking the trash out, it might be a female taking the trash out at night, so we want to kind of have visibility in there so we don't have, you know, people camping out in there and make it become a nuisance for those reasons. So,
is there going to be any lighting in there?
I think we have some fence lighting that we've thought of, but I don't know if we actually showed it on here, but definitely on the one on the south, we're going to need to augment the existing lighting.
I know there's lighting on the back of the buildings.
Be pretty easy to add. We have electrical in there anyway to run the compactors.
You can see on this graphic on the screen, it says traffic aisle. And so there's space for clearance for two cars.
Right.
Because it looks like it protrudes just a little bit out further than... Is the gates open? Is that what that is? The gates?
Yeah, those are the gates open. And we had to make sure that the truck could pull in to get the compactor out without hitting the other one, so we adjusted the angles to make sure and ran that by BFI or Marburg to make sure they could do that.
And then looking a little closer at these areas, you've indicated planters. Mm-hmm. Do you have any landscaping plans or concepts at this point?
We were just going to continue the existing landscaping that is out there and just match what's there. We don't have a particular plan that we submitted to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, of the plan, these are the only two that are even remotely visible. And I might suggest that this wall be a solid plaster wall as some of your others. That's in lieu of knowing exactly what the planter or planting material is. Otherwise, we have this chain link with the slats in it, which is more appropriate to the rear of the building.
Hang on. The plant material that's out there, if what existing could potentially screen that wall, that would be another solution. So,
yeah, I think some initial studies, we had some kind of a climbing vine that was going to grow up on that to hide that, which might make it an effective landscape element. I don't know, Michael Tobes, what you would prefer, a solid block wall or some kind of climbing landscaping on that chain link that faces Cali Real?
I think we'd be more attractive with landscaping.
So I don't know if you guys can give that as a condition of approval, and we'll put something on there. We'll talk to the people that do the maintenance over there, what the plant palette is, and get some kind of a climbing vine or something on there. I think there's some trellises that have something that's training up on there, so we'll just like match that species.
Well, with that in mind, I would suggest a more neutral background, that it be a black chain link with your dark green slats. That will really make the landscaping pop and reduce it to a neutral
a shadow. Yeah, great idea.
I also have to comment that I really like the name of this unit, the Crams a Lot. Boy, that bears note.
Yeah, I'm good with it. But I would prefer to see it done with landscaping than a wall, to be honest.
Do we have any comments by other members, Gregory or Aaron, Bill?
I note that as part of this project, restriping is going to occur, which results in a net gain of 11 new parking spaces. Is there going to be any reduction or loss of landscaping as a result?
I don't believe. I think they're just restriping the existing paved area.
There is one that gets removed on the south side of Calle Real, behind, right across from the dual compactor, there's, it says here on sheet 001, it says there's a little finger planter there which is being removed.
Yeah, you know, the plan does say that, yeah. But it was going to be removed, mm-hmm. But when I made them restripe them as compacts, they left it in, but they didn't take the note out. So you could see that, I think we could just leave that planter there because we're not even striping it to gain additional parking for the current configuration.
Okay, so that's not being removed, that's still there.
Right.
Not being removed. Okay.
There was, the civil engineer had put parking all the way across there, not realizing that we didn't have enough backup distance there to run standard spaces. Mm-hmm. So those are all compacts, and they meet the compact backup, and there's no need to really take that out.
Good.
Cool.
So, I guess we're looking for a motion.
I'll move to...
No motion. Mr. Chair. That's conceptual.
My mistake.
Do we have public speakers on this item?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't get a form, so...
I haven't got any slips, but are there any? Okay, so we didn't get any speaker slips. There are no public speakers for this.
I just had one more question.
Yes.
When it's doing its thing, and you said it makes kind of a crunching sound, do you have any idea what the magnitude of the worst level of decibels of sound that might emit, just respect to the neighbors on the north side?
I don't know off the top of my head, but we have like a 500-page study on that.
Yeah,
Michael?
We have a sound study done in the city.
There is a noise study that was also submitted as part of this project, and the levels for decibels are below what the general plan noise element standards. Yeah, so less than 60, correct. Once it gets to, it's at... it's less than 45 once it gets to the nearest apartment on the north side.
Is it restricted to daytime use, or could they be compacting in the middle of the night when sound could be a little bit more amplified and travel further?
It'll probably be used anytime that the businesses are open, which some of those are restaurants, like on the north side, Outback Steaks over there. So you're going to have to use it day and night, you know? I think that if you compare it to the sound of a slamming trash lid, it will be less. You know, it's going to be a more regular kind of sound. It's going to be behind a new block wall. It's farther away from the property line. So all those things are pluses in terms of improving the existing situation.
And if I could make a comment on that point, Bill. Next to my business, one my neighbor has an almost identical unit. We'll be in the parking lot 40 feet away while they're using it. Never notice the sound, and when it's being offloaded, it's very minimal in the amount of sound and the length of time it's making the noise. So,
yeah, I think the thing that is that causes the trouble is that when people take the trash out to a normal bin, if it's of any kind of quantity of trash being taken out, they get the taller bin. So then that means that they have to lift something up like to almost eye level and throw it in, and then you've got like maybe beer bottles hitting the bottom of a metal container from 5 feet. It's going to make quite a bit of noise day or night. And then on top of that, if they're good, they've opened the lid, not flipped it all the way open so the seagulls can get in there, and then they're going to close it. When they're done dumping the stuff in, they're just going to let that thing slam down, which also makes would probably undoubtedly exceed the 60 dB for all of those actions. Whereas this one, the side door is down lower at man height, so you can feed things in. They don't have to fall as far to get inside of that, and it's a lot easier to operate.
So, as vice chair, because our chair is recused himself, would I have the agreement with the rest of the board that this is... these people, they've passed the conceptual review portion of this, and that we can pass this on with the recommendation that the chain link fencing be a black chain link fencing with the dark green vinyl covered slats, and that the applicant provide us with landscaping for the two islands on the north side. Would that be acceptable to? Okay.
Maybe I missed it. Was there going to be a climbing vine? Was that part of the?
That was one of the things they were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be a climbing vine. Because we don't actually vote on the conceptual thing anymore, do we?
Nope.
Those are just
no, but comments. You can have agreement on the comments. That would be good.
Yeah, and I think we have agreement on the comments, so I think we can deem the conceptual review portion of this complete.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have to get our planning clearance first, right, Michael? And then we'd be able to come back.
The next level, next time for this would be for design review.
Yep.
So,
Can we be continued for design review?
So you can make a motion for continuance to the next meeting, which would be April 12th.
Okay.
To carry this item.
Yeah.
Okay. Then do I have a motion?
I'll move to send this to the to design review the next meeting on April 12th.
Second.
Okay. Do I have all in favor to say aye?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're on to item H1, Madam Secretary.
Item H1 is the Old Town Village mixed-use project located at South Kellogg Avenue, west of Kellogg Way, case number 14026 DRB.
Okay, and can I have declarations from everybody?
No recent site visit, no ex parte.
No recent site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit and ex parte. No ex parte, sorry.
No recent site visit, no ex parte.
No new site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
And no new site visit and no ex parte for myself.
Okay. So. Mr. Chair and board members, you've seen this project several times, and for the record, I'll just describe what the project is. It's 175 townhomes. It's a mixed-use project, commercial and residential, comprised of 113 traditional townhomes, 28 shopkeeper townhomes, and 34 live-work townhomes, and also a community center. And recently, the project has added a swimming pool. So this project was reviewed by the Planning Commission on July 27, 2015, approved by the City Council on October 20, 2015. It's come before the DRB. This will be the fourth time, and I believe the applicant's continually refining the project based on your comments, and I'll let him go through the items that the DRB brought up at the last meeting of February 23rd. And I think you're just coming hot off the press with those, right?
Hot off the press.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a little bit disorganized. I'm just arriving from a reprographics office in Santa Barbara. I printed out a copy of our lighting plan if we want to take a closer look at that. Thank you very much again for having me in front of the Design Review Board. We, as you may remember, in our first meeting, had a number of comments, addressed those. We're here before you a few weeks back, address more of the comments, but we have some additional comments we have to address today. I think there's some issues here in the staff report, which I can go through specifically. I think everybody has, we had a new full package submitted, so everybody has the full package, right? All right. So we'll just go through these comments in the staff report one by one. I may have, if there are additional things that we didn't get in here that we've also changed, I'll bring that to your attention. So the first is studying the increase the vertical height of the village center. So that is on page A2. It's about 4 or 5 pages back. So we've essentially added another half story onto that building, or it's probably another 4 to 5 feet in vertical height. So I've added what looks to be like a clear story level, a second roof, and it brings up the massing of that building so that it, you know, I think works better with a three-story building behind it. It doesn't look like it's being dwarfed by the building behind it. So that was the first comment. Any questions on that? Okay. Studying the color of the live-work buildings to add more color interest. We had, I think, the original drawing that we looked at last time on page A4, two pages back, we've got another color scheme. And I've brought a color materials board which matches that scheme here. So essentially, we've just added an additional, really just, I think, the addition of a green hued color to the color blocking to bring a little bit more individuality to some of the units. Before, the color blocking was essentially just the white and the blue with some gray. So this adds an additional level of interest. We also, if the page right behind it, A4B, when we looked at that elevation as it is on A4, we think this accomplishes what the design review board was looking for. We hope so. But we also just decided, because, you know, things like this are obviously subjective, we wanted to make sure that we have something today that you can approve. And so we went ahead and created a second color scheme, which is not, that doesn't vary quite as much. Do you need a package?
We don't have that sheet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Our set is dated March 15th.
This is probably a more current set. So I have copies for everybody here. Sorry about that.
This is a whole different set of something or other.
This is just landscaping.
Yeah. Yeah.
She goes for a while.
Do you have
the
A4B?
Yes,
A4B. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to head back to the Reprographics company when we're done, have a conversation with them. But let me, maybe I can put this up on the board. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, just put that up.
That has an A4B. So where is our...
There we go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So this is an alternative color scheme, which essentially just instead of using a color with such a contrast, such as a green, it uses just a different, darker, a little more muted brown. Somewhere dark, a little bit darker than a beige color. So it adds some additional interest to the colors, but the color scheme is not as, differences aren't as bold. And we think that the live-work buildings, we really think about these if you are looking at the site plan, it's the urban plaza that runs through through the spine of the project. So to have buildings with a little bit less of a variation in color with buildings facing each other, we think this is a good alternative that doesn't create, you know, such a stark difference between some of the elements. Because there's also horizontal relief in these buildings as well. So if either of these is, you know, acceptable to the board, I think if we on our staff voted, we would actually vote for 4B. That would be our preference, but either of these I think would look great. We also have a sample elevation of the alleys. This should have been in your packet.
Yeah,
So another page back, page A8. Oh, sorry, not A8. A10, I apologize. So this is an example of the residential buildings that would back up to each other, garage doors facing garage doors. Okay, keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
We are submitting a lighting plan with photometrics. So,
and hopefully you have a big copy of that, because I found the little one almost impossible to read.
Yes. This is a copy of the lighting plan here. Actually, I think I have three copies of this, in case we want to roll it out.
Do you have the photometric?
You know what? The photometric was not included in this package.
It was in ours, but again, it's so small I can't read
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So. No, I don't have a full-size copy of the photometric.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Any questions or thoughts on these?
Color-coded. So these are how tall?
Those are the top of the fixture is 9 feet high.
Okay.
All right.
I'm good.
All right.
If somebody else has a question, I hope they're going to
okay.
speak up. So
I have a comment.
Oh, well, we'll get there.
All right. And then the final landscape and irrigation plan, there's a copy in your packet, but I also brought a full-size set if anybody wants to look more closely at that. A comment made to the tree pallet was to remove the Podocarpus species, which we have. Also, to take a look at the community garden to make sure that we don't have trees on the south side that it would obscure light into the garden. So we've removed the trees from that side of the garden. We have an enhanced paving plan. Sorry, do we have any questions? Or okay. We have an enhanced paving plan in the common area where around the clubhouse. So we actually have created a paving pattern that you can see on sheet L1. We've also provided enhanced paving at the crosswalk to the street that would indicate where somebody would walk across to the path. So that's at the secondary entrance at Eccles Street. You can see there's an enhanced pathway across the street. And all of the all the paving along Eccles Street is going to be an enhanced paving.
Have you talked with Public Works about that?
Just at 11 o'clock this morning.
And you got a positive response, I'm hoping?
Got a positive response. The response is that this tree plan, while it does not meet the exact conditions of the approval, it is acceptable if we do some additional modifications to make sure there's accessibility from every parking space, specifically the handicap parking space. So the concept in the approval is that it would just be one continuous parkway of, I think, 6 feet wide and then at least 8 feet of paving. But what we wanted to do is make sure there were pathways so that that would go through the parkway planting to make sure when somebody parked a car, they could actually walk across. So, you know, it might not look exactly like this, but it would be, you know, groups of trees set close to the parking spaces, but having some sort of paving in front of it so you could open up your car door, step out at any point.
Okay.
Yep.
Chair? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but just to cover all the bases, I think I may need to go back just a moment. And it has to do with the application of the recessed wall lighting. Mm-hmm. Where on the map, maybe could you point to where that's actually going to be? When I was looking on the photometric, right, I really couldn't see a call out for where that would be located. So if there's some way to maybe just show where the recessed wall lighting is intended. Because we really like that feature.
Yes, absolutely. So that was left out on the plan. Essentially, along the all throughout the urban plaza that runs through the center of the site, you've got these seat walls. Mm-hmm. So they're long vertical walls with breaks in them. Every one of those would have a light underneath it, so that it's casting light from the bottom. So we can add that as a note to the plan, make sure that makes it into the approval. But that was the intent.
Okay. Thank
you. And that's what's shown in that photo. That's how they're supposed to operate. Yeah. Thank you for catching that. Make sure I got this. The perimeter wall, we replace the slump with a, I want to make sure I get this right. We talked about it, whether it was a split face or a precision, but it's a different spec for the block walls. There we go. This is page L1. It's about a third of the way through the packet. So it is a 6-foot community wall. It's item number 8, 6-foot community wall, split face to match architecture. So a split face block. And then the play mound in that same plan, item number 14, we took a look at what is going on at the Santa Barbara Zoo and essentially just removed the post that we had coming out of it and also centered it a little bit more so it's more, before we had it backed into a couple of retaining walls. So now it's moved out more in the middle so you can really use the whole thing. I think that's it. All right, yes. Those are the same comments I had on my notes.
Yeah, the same 11 mm-hmm. comments.
Yeah, the same 11 comments on my notes.
Can I see the color board? Does anybody have any additional questions at the moment? So relative to, back to the color thing here, 4A versus 4B, I guess I'm trying to understand the green is not here. Is that what I'm seeing?
Is that?
Well, is it that or, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have 4B, but, and this may not be an adequate representation of what's really intended, but I guess I was expecting to have something that's more green than what I'm seeing here.
Which I think that's the way it comes out in the print.
Could easily be.
That color is actually represented here, so when it comes out in the printing, it looks like it has a little bit more, I don't know if that's a red or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
so, if we pick, instead of picking what's depicted on A4, we pick what's depicted on
4B.
4B. I don't know where we have a 4B. If you look at that landscape,
I think it was in.
Thank you.
And on the color board, which is this color?
This was a color that we just added 2 days ago. So it didn't make it into the original packet. It was, as we were preparing this, we were just playing with some different colors. So it's not represented on the color board. And we actually, we're happy to come back again with a more complete or a better match between what we're seeing on the color board and what's printed. It looks like, you know, the colors that get printed sometimes don't exactly represent right. What's on the thing. So
always.
But, you know, if we can get some guidance on which of these directions is better, happy to come back before we get a building permit and present that.
Yeah, we can. Maybe we're going to go into comments. I don't know. I mean, I certainly like this version better, color-wise. But I guess what I'm worried about is if this is represented by that, maybe this isn't so bad. And this might be a little bland. I don't know. So maybe we have to deal with working out those colors down the road somehow.
If we were, perhaps first for the sake of the conversation today, because we're looking at two different presentations. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at something that looks, if the material board we had represented those colors, would the board be interested in something that has more contrast to the live work elevations?
Well, I think that's.
Or something a little bit more subtle in the contrast.
I'm on board with this.
Yeah, I like that.
I like 4B.
I like 4.
I like 4 as well.
Especially if that color's more represented. I like how that. I like that, what that throws into the mix.
I as well. So there's a difference of opinion, obviously.
So. Okay.
And you thought it'd be a good idea to give it a choice, didn't you?
Yeah. Colors.
We'll get back to that. I'll come back to that. Okay.
So, if maybe the question then is, I honestly don't mind having this conversation and bringing this item back again because I think it's going to make a big difference and this is a very important part of the project. It sounds like maybe there's two different conversations. One is adding an additional element of color to these elevations. Is that something that would be, you know, would enhance these buildings in this area or something more subtle? And then if it is something that is more enhanced, perhaps it's not that stark of a difference. And I would even be happy to just take comment and we can try again. You know, we can come back with some other.
My comment would be that I like adding the additional color to the scheme. I mean, I like both schemes, to be honest. I mean, I think adding the additional color generates more interest and makes the building more handsome. In my personal opinion, if this is the green we're talking about, I like it. If the green that you pointed to on the board, which is more gray, is the color, I don't like it.
Can you create a more accurate visual simulation than a reprographic on a sheet of paper?
Good luck
so
with
it
that.
Could really, like on a PowerPoint or something? I guess
color
maybe there's not that even.
Color block, I would say.
Yeah,
right. Yeah no, I think the way to do it is to. This is really a matter of just execution on our side. It's a matter of coming up with two different color boards and then making sure the reprographics go. They have an in-house at the architect's office so that they're checked before they go out.
Right.
These were picked up at a different shop, and so you know they don't know the difference between green and green sometimes.
Right.
We can't blame them. So, right. We can do that. We'll have the architecture firm Hesmahalch produce two different color boards with matching paper elevations so when you look at the two, they'll be obviously the same.
Okay.
Chair, I had a couple questions.
Okay, Bill.
One of the things that we asked for, and maybe this, I'm not sure if this is what we got, was to try to get an idea of the feeling that one would have when you were in the rear elevation where you had back-to-back three-story elevations. I see that on sheet A10 we've got a rear elevation from one side. I don't know if there's a way of getting a depiction of looking down a street, down a
like a perspective down the alley kind of a thing?
Yeah, like that. That's kind of what I was looking for, because I just note in the development to the north of there, there's three-story elements, and there's kind of a feeling of claustrophobia when you walk through there, and I was hoping to see something that you've been able to achieve that is superior to that, and I can't really tell from what's being provided here. The other thing I wanted to mention is on L2, when you've got your pedestrian connectivity, and we've got the garden out there, but it's right next to the front entrance, and I just wonder issues of pedestrian access and visual clearance in case there is a lot of people going to work in the garden and a lot of people also driving home at the same time, if there's any way to just consider, I don't know if you put some kind of different pavement down or anything. I just noticed that the nearness of the two uses and just wanted to mention that. And then just the last one I want to mention is on A9, where it's the conceptual streetscape from the Kellogg Avenue entrance. Are those flood walls that are depicted along there, or is there, because I see that those are landscaped on the outward side of the wall. I was wondering if there's anything shown that shows the whole issue of the having to have the flood walls for a certain run of that, if that's depicted anywhere, or if this is what that is.
Sure. Should I respond to this? All right.
Yeah, please.
So the first question about the perspective of the alley, we don't have that drawn. It would be a different set of drawings. We'd have to take these plans and put them into whatever format and sort of do that. So what we were hoping is that by, we know what the distance is between the buildings and we know what the height is of those buildings, that based on everyone's experience, you know, we would know what that generally would feel like. I think what we were trying to depict in these elevations of the garage side is just that there is a significant amount of relief in the buildings and a difference in materials. So it's four-sided. It isn't that you look down an alley and you just see flat walls with a bunch of windows and garage doors. So I know that this doesn't really address how this looks in terms of the perspective, but that was what we were trying to depict. The question about the entrance to the community garden, I think that's something we actually hadn't considered, is that conflict. So I think the way we can address that is by moving the entrance to the garden or farther around the corner and adding some enhanced paving and making it clear that it's a crosswalk there. And then the flood walls on A9, that is correct. Those are a depiction of the flood walls. Yeah. So what we did is we're putting breaks as often as we can in those walls, and then there's a product that you can actually put in the case of a flood that creates a solid wall.
Any other questions from the board? Comments? Aaron, you want to start? You had some.
I have a few. I think you've come a long way, for one. The landscape plans look generally good. Architecture looks generally good. I just had a few comments. The lighting plan, there's a lot of tree uplights. Typically, we don't want to see those. Dark sky compliance. Maybe you could do some tree downlights in the tree branches. I didn't see any fence details for the private patios. Are those anywhere? I think there are some conceptual type
details.
Those were
details shown in the just in the design imagery. So
we had that one section that showed it.
Yeah, but it doesn't really show the materials. I don't think that well. Let's take a look.
Oh, so are we?
Yeah, I think the closest we have is on L4, is just sort of a using some sort of a.
So there's going to be some openness to the slats.
Yes.
Okay.
And then an image that we chose on the following page shows an example of how that can be achieved.
I don't know how everyone else feels, but I feel like there could be a little more variation with the garage doors, color or material. There are some deciduous trees near the pool. Might be problematic near the pool, leaf drop, etc. And there was the landscape plans show tipu trees. Those get really big. So I think they're in a pretty big planter. I just think maybe fewer of them are needed. But overall, I'm in support of the project, and thank you for coming back with a complete set of drawings.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Greg?
My question, I guess, and comment was in regard to the tipu trees. It's more of a comment just to know also the roots are highly invasive. I've seen almost all root barriers fail in time with that tree. So utilities, critical hardscape, it's a great tree. It's just, it's pretty problematic. So with the root, so something to consider. I actually would swap it for another tree personally. I mean, I haven't found a root barrier in 25 years that actually holds. So something to think about, or maybe just to look into the next level root barrier material. That's not a huge change. That's, yeah.
If you want to see how large they get, exit Carrillo Street when you're going south on the 101, and there's a park and ride where they were planted pretty close, and there's no sun getting through that parking lot.
Yeah.
I've got a 30-foot one in my backyard. They get big. I think my comments are minimal. I think it looks great. We already talked about the color. I like the color of the alley. And I was going to mention that the garage door variation, I think, would help. And I thought of it a lot on the color board, where you've got the piece of the
mace fiber,
that wood. Look in front. Yeah, that would be cool on the garage door. For not all of them, just you know, just to get some variation. But yeah, I think it's coming along.
Aaron, do you have anything?
Just a comment that when you come back, if you could also get some info on where the reclaimed water is going.
Okay. Bill?
I don't have anything to add. Thank you.
Okay. Tom?
I really don't have anything to add either. I think anything that I would have commented on has already been dealt with by the other board members. I like this project.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think you've come a long way. So appreciate you willing to work with us. I think it's going to be a much nicer project than where we started with. So, and I guess, even though I was hoping, I guess we could finish design review, we still have a couple of outstanding items. So,
Mr. Chair, could I just ask the board if what you're seeing today is sufficient for the applicant to move forward with construction drawings? It sounds like some of the details will not affect that, and I think that's what they would like to know.
I believe I told them that last time, but I'm good with construction drawings.
In fact, I saw that it was agendized for design review, and I was sort of hoping to see all the elevations
for each building
before doing that, but I feel comfortable with where you're going. I mean, you could launch into the CDs with that for sure.
Quick question: is the landscape going to be on reclaimed water, the irrigation?
Yeah, that's
immediately or future?
No, future. There is no service of reclaimed water here.
Yeah. It happens when Equa comes through, right?
So are you going to put in purple pipe and all the purple stuff now?
Everywhere where we can, we will put in the purple pipe. We understand from talking to the water department that some of it would be approved by them later, and so some of it's actually meant to be replaced for heads and things like that.
Because I don't see that spec on the irrigation plans.
Yeah, I mean, we have to...
Below ground stuff would be purple, I would think, now. And above ground, it'd be traditional. Until you switch over.
If that's the specification,
I think
that's the condition of the
water district could tell you.
Yeah. But we spoke about it with the water district. They said that we can start by installing the parts of the system that we know we're not going to change, and then eventually we have to come back and replace other parts. So if that means that we have to put in purple pipe for reclaimed water now, then that's what we can do.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly go through. I'm on board with removing or substituting some for the tipu trees because I just think they get way too big. I'm on board with doing something with garage door colors, and maybe they relate to front door colors. I don't know what you're doing with those, but somehow there needs to be some breakup of that.
Is that front door colors as well?
No. Maybe they match the front door color, or I don't know. Just I'd like to see a photometric. Aaron's comment about no uplights in the trees, but we can do downlights. And then the color board thing that we're talking about for elevation purposes. And I think with that, I'm good. How soon do you want to come back?
Well,
we have April 12th and April 26th.
Can I get a point of clarification? Do they have to come back with the elevation of every building? Because I heard Scott ask for that.
Actually, I was kind of hoping they would also.
Okay.
I didn't mention that.
We just need to
make
that
I was
clear.
Expecting that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're at final, well, now it's design, but when we're at this point, typically the buildings are unwrapped.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
All four sides.
We're looking at
all
four elevations.
May?
What's that? No, I think I was going to propose something else, which is, well, first of all, as I understand it, there are no requirements for what's submitted for design review. It's as much detail as you can, as you can provide at any stage in the project. But I didn't know that all four sides of architecture for every building were part of the design review approval. That's news to me.
Okay.
I don't know if I missed it or what. We've approached this essentially to say that we understand that we have whatever it is that we show in design review, there is a substantial conformance review by the planning department when we are in the construction drawing phase, and if we don't the buildings don't look like what is presented in design review, then they just don't get approved, and we have to go back and redo the construction drawings. But
or
we bring those back to the
or point. Staff sometimes can talk to whoever is chair at the moment, and it won't be me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some ways around that as long as it's not significant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Mr. Chair, I think it's what the board's comfort level is.
Right.
What you're passing along as your final and leaving staff to, I don't know that you want staff to, and I don't think we want to decide on color.
No,
we're not talking colors.
I was going to say, I can't recall a project that we gave previously preliminary approval and now design approval without seeing all four elevations. Now, that doesn't mean they have to be in CAD. They could be hand-drawn like this, but I think we need to have an opportunity to look at every elevation. Because.
Because we can.
Well, I mean,
we've never
not done that, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah.
I completely appreciate that. I have worked in cities where there is a long list of every single drawing you have to have, and that helps us scope things with our designers so that they know what they have to do at a certain point in time.
Right.
So I think I've been moving through this process with the idea that everything we've seen, we get comments on and we modify. Quite honestly, I hadn't understood that we were going to do all four buildings of every size until you just mentioned it.
Okay.
So
what about this then? Because I think as a board, we're very comfortable with where you're at and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're not in such a hurry to have you come back to finish. Maybe you could go off and do working drawings and come back literally almost right before...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You submit for.
Sure. No, I
mean,
this is really nice to have this conversation with you guys. I'll tell you the reason that we are just anxious to get a design review board approval is that's a requirement for a final map, and so then in my mind that's really about the site plan, right?
Right.
Like the final
right.
map isn't
mm-hmm.
if we change the color
right.
of a building that doesn't really change the subdivision.
Right.
So. I was really hoping we would have a design, not understanding that there was the sort of requirement to have, all four sides, that we'd have a design review board approval if there were conditions such as replace a tree or you know, consider some other thing. Or like I was saying, I'm happy to come back again, and we'll keep working on the colors. But I, if, you know, obviously at the chair's discretion, I'd love to get the approval with conditions if I could, even though the condition means before you pull your building permit, you have to come back and do this, this, and this.
I guess I'm okay with that.
Okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Here's the suggestion. We have findings that you have to make today. If you feel comfortable making those findings for design approval, design review approval, send it to staff for conformance review, and staff can make that determination whether we're comfortable or bring it back to the board for the details of color and the outstanding items. Or we could...
Can't we just... Can our condition be that it needs to come back to the board for those...
Yeah.
But you're giving it final... You're giving it approval.
I mean
we're giving it final approval, but why can't we agree with the applicant that they need to come back before they file for their building permit? Like,
I would imagine you already designed the other elevations and have talked about it and thought about it.
Yeah.
We have... Well,
I'm a little concerned.
Yes, we have. I would say that what we've done is, in developing these elevations, we've developed the floor plans to make sure that, you know, we don't show a window there where there's a bathroom or something like that.
Right.
So all the floor plans match this. We haven't turned the building around and then actually done the drawing.
Right.
It could be done,
right?
Obviously. And it has to be done, because once we kick off working drawings, then that's about getting into, you know, CAD drawings for all the elevations.
Right.
So... I would be very comfortable coming back with a condition to come back prior to, you name it, building...
Prior to final.
Prior to building...
We don't have final.
I mean prior to staff's compliance review.
In other words...
We could just continue it and bring it back for conformance review. I mean, that's
yeah.
I'm just trying to...
Yeah, but he's trying
to
get a final from us so that he can proceed with the map.
Yeah.
It's called design approval, right?
Yeah.
And I would say I am more than happy to come back and, you know, keep working on these things. We could even do it, I mean, set it in such a time that it would be before the building permit submittal. Yeah. So we're talking about something that would happen in the next few months.
Right.
Not building permit submittal.
Right.
Yeah. I'm happy to do that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We do, if you do continue, we would like you to do a continued date certain so we don't have to renotice everything for these minor items. So you can pick a date, and if you don't make that, we can...
Continue again. But...
So does that mean...
I mean, from a site plan standpoint, I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're an aesthetic board, and I've seen one-fourth of the aesthetics of each building.
Sure.
I think it would be, this is a great conversation because obviously it's not clear to the applicants, and so maybe the city can work on making that really clear exactly
and
what's
expected. We'll look at that in the zoning code update. Yeah. Another option that seems to fit within the design review process is that you can designate...
a member to...
Or two or three and...
Mm.
Okay.
Well, why don't you? I think it's a good idea to give a design approval.
That's right.
The conditions that you return prior to submittal for a building permit.
Right.
Yeah. I'm
in what month?
We do have to notice that.
We have to notice what?
We'd have to do a renoticing.
No, we're not if we do it to a date certain, right?
Right.
So pick.
So you take.
Are we talking July? When are you thinking? What's your schedule say you're going to submit?
I mean, I'll come back in a month. I'll come back in a month with all these. All the elevations and everything.
So April 26th.
Check. How about the first one?
Why don't we say May? First one of May. Thank you. Saving me for myself.
Trying. I'm trying.
He's an architect.
Good luck.
He knows.
Good luck.
Right.
That would be
first,
May 10th.
Mm-hmm. We good?
Fantastic.
Does somebody want to try a motion to that effect?
I'd like to make a motion for design approval, for design review approval with the condition that the applicant will be coming back in the merry month of May 8th?
May 10th.
10th. With additional elevations, and that the applicant study variations on the garage colors, garage door colors, and what else did I miss?
Photometric.
I'd like to see the site photometric.
Clear photometric plan, and there's something about trees.
Tree downlights.
Keep out the teepees.
Uplights.
No, uplights in the trees, downlights in the trees.
Yes.
There was also bringing accurate color boards.
Right.
That reflect the different options.
Yes.
And what was the other?
Alternate for the trees.
Alternate for the trees, a good idea. Yes. And then also clarification on the reclaimed water.
Specifications.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, specifications right. on the irrigation plan.
Okay.
And obviously the elevation.
What he said.
And elevations of all four sides of each sides. Building type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Yes.
And is that a second from you then?
Sure. That's a second.
Okay, and but we need to do...
Yeah, we need to do findings.
Oh. Well, so
okay. And in conjunction with
Hold on. What?
Is the motion open for discussion,
it,
Chair?
It will yeah. be. Yes, yeah. absolutely. At some point. Hold on. Go ahead. Shoot.
Okay. Then for the DRB findings, for neighborhood compatibility, we find that the development is compatible with the neighborhood in size, bulk, and scale. It's well-oriented. It's well laid out. It will not adversely affect public views. It'll enhance the area, and it respects the privacy of the neighbors and considerate private views and solar access. As far as quality of architectural design, the buildings within the development are harmonious in design materials and colors and that have been provided. Colors will be consistent with the architectural guidelines for the subdivision. Combined architectural features, colors, materials, create a consistent treatment and unity of composition. Together, these elements provide a harmony of material, color, and composition to all sides of the project. Quality of landscape design, we find that it is the grading is appropriate, that the landscape is of a high quality and is consistent with the design. That'll preserve and protect to the maximum extent practicable any mature specimen or skyline tree or appropriately mitigate the loss. As far as zoning goes, public health, safety, and welfare is protected. It provides for adequate street design and sufficient parking for residents and guests in a safe and aesthetically pleasing way.
Okay, so, and the second's good to that? And discussion, Aaron.
So I am absolutely not comfortable with that without, you know, we've got 6-7 items on the punch list that we'd like to see. I'm just not comfortable voting yes on that with all of those rather significant ones in a nebulous way. It's just premature in my opinion.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, we'll see you on May 10th.
May I make an unsolicited observation?
Yes.
Thank you. First of all, this process has been amazing. It really has. I've done design review processes in a lot of different cities. I've never had the opportunity to sit down like this and actually have conversations. I think some of the changes we made in this project were a direct result and truly benefited this project. I think the idea to bring all of the community elements to the middle, that came from this group. That was huge. And so I just want to, I mean, I don't know if you guys get to go to other design review meetings in other cities, but this is unique and it's very helpful. I think that the idea of having four-sided architecture, I think, is actually... should be required, but
yeah.
It should. But I'll tell you. So, as an example, in the city of Pasadena, there's a list 3 pages long. If you want to go to concept, you have all of these pages, and so we can do it. We just need to know we need to do it.
Right.
So I would be in favor of something, you know, a little bit more discreet about these are all the things you need for a first conversation and all this. Like it was great when I first asked. Mary, you know, what do I bring? And she's like, you kind of bring whatever you want to get approved. And I thought, well, that's good because, you know, we can kind of focus on the things we want to focus on, but it's also tough because you don't know if something's come up and say, mm-hmm. what about this?
Right.
I remember when we read the new process, Ben.
Yeah.
I was like, you're going to have to elevate every building, all four sides of each building type. And you said, I don't think so. And I looked at the requirements in the code, and sure enough, they weren't there. And I thought, okay. Yeah.
Not that I totally appreciate this approval, and this helps me out a ton, but if the list would have been all four sides, done, easy.
Yeah.
And then the one other suggestion, if anybody's interested, is that I think there might be a different way to review the landscape without doing a full planting plan, because that was something where now our landscape architect is a good like two steps ahead of the rest of the civil engineering, because if the civil engineering changes, even if we move something, that's already, it's like a full plan. I don't know what that is. I don't know what's in between a sort of a list of trees and a planting plan, but that was the only area where it felt like we'd rather do four-sided elevations and something a little bit more conceptual in the landscape plan than to get the landscape plan out ahead of the buildings. But thank you for the opportunity.
Well, this is a new experience for us, too, so we're just trying to work it out. And as you may or may not know, we're in the middle of rewriting our whole zoning ordinance. So, anyway, appreciate the input, though.
Thank you very much. In fact, I would even be willing to, if there's ever testimony, I'd be willing to testify about the value of this process. I think it's been great. So, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to presentation, oath of office for the three members at large. So we are now at a point, because we know our makeup for the next year, that I can step down as chair. And
I think we need to agendize that.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry. It's not on the agenda. You have to stick around for one more.
Three more years, she means. One more term.
I'll put that on the agenda for your next meeting.
Okay, then I will request that go on the agenda for next meeting.
I think I know who's getting nominated.
Okay. Do we have any announcements by members?
I just have one thing that I'd like to say. It's probably too late, maybe too late, but I would just wonder if the city would ever consider a courtesy review by Goleta's Design Review Board and Planning and or Planning Commission of the industrial park build-out and the 6100 block of Hollister that's going to be occurring at the city of Santa Barbara by the airport.
Oh. We'd probably have to ask for that, but probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? That meeting is adjourned, and good afternoon to the good land.
Right.